Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Charlotte Flows. Hi, and welcome to Charlotte Flows. Here we are on another week to step out of the doing of life and into the being of life. This 30-minute pocket of time is where I share my musings, my learnings, and my discoveries on living life by my design, hoping that it inspires you to ask yourself that same question. Am I living my life by my design? Enjoy the show. I am just a little bit excited. So I had an idea and I've pitched it and it's going to work. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to do a little mini series of shows where I have the absolute pleasure of bringing my little guy into my Arrow FM world. I thought I would do this because we're heading to the beginning of May. And at the beginning of May, there is Mother's Day. So I thought I'd take some time to have some conversations with my Mr. 10-year-old on a few different areas of life. Today, we're going to start off with something that's bound to bring a few laughs or tears. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Finn.
Thank you.
Not the first time. We've done a show with you before when we were in England, when we were doing the grandchildren show. So you've had a little bit of Arrow FM action before, but first time a dedicated show and indeed series, which you have agreed to, haven't you?
Yeah.
So today I thought we'd kick things off with the theme of challenges. As you know, I'm a big fan of challenges. I'm currently working through my 50 before 50 list. I have shared how I've done a 30 before 30 list before. And the reason I love challenges is it's really nice to have something in the background that is pushing you to do different things, new things, that is getting you outside of the Groundhog Day-esqueness that life sometimes falls into. That being a lifelong learner, it's just nice to sort of push the boundaries a little bit and bring fun into life. So I have, you know, been a big fan of that sort of stuff. So when my little guy turned 10 at the end of last year, I decided it was time to introduce the concept of challenges to him. And on his birthday, I presented him with 10 challenges to complete while he is 10. How did you feel getting this challenge list, Finn?
Surprised.
Yeah? A good surprise?
Yeah, a good surprise.
Because you know how much I enjoy challenges, don't I?
Yeah.
And why do you think that is?
Because you like completing your goals
trying new things.
Yeah, trying new things.
Yeah, so this was a bit to do the same for you. And also maybe a couple of them do them together. So, because that's what's also really cool. I love completing goals often means that we can do things as a family, or I can do things with Finn, or I can do things with my husband. And so, yeah, it's something that actually isn't just only for me. It's generally for the whole family. So Finn, how about you share what the 10 challenges on your challenge list were with everybody?
Okay, so the challenges I have on here is plant a tree, go to a concert, save $100, spend a night under the stars, go kayaking, travel to a new place, ride a roller coaster, walk a slack line, write 10 one-page Mr. Fat Cat stories, and compete in a Junior Tough Guy Challenge.
Cool. So some pretty cool challenges there. Were there any that you were worried about when you saw that?
Kayaking.
Yeah.
Ride a roller coaster.
Yeah, because they're pretty big new challenges, aren't they, for a 10-year-old if you haven't done them before. What's the bit about kayaking that you're thinking could be quite a big challenge for you?
I don't know. I've just never really been a fan of being in a huge open space of water. It just feels really like you never know what's underneath you. That's what creeps me out.
Right. So your imagination is suggesting there might be all sorts of things underwater. And what about ride a roller coaster? What is it about that one?
Scary.
Yeah, and I know that, and that one was put on there because that's quite a big one because that involves a bit of an adventure to go somewhere to ride a roller coaster. But I think I put that on there thinking that you would enjoy that and also knowing that there are roller coasters that aren't like the big loop-de-loops that you see in the movies or on the TV and stuff. So it can be quite simple and straightforward. And obviously the kayaking one will be, you know, be something we all do together. So that's not going to be scary. Maybe even some friends might come along. So those are your 10 challenges. Have you completed any of your challenges?
Yes, I've completed go to a concert at the Ed Sheeran Loop Tour and one unexpected and spend a night in the stars, which was an unexpected story.
Yeah, okay. Let's just go back a little bit to Ed Sheeran. We both got to do that together, which was pretty awesome, wasn't it? Your first concert.
Yeah.
How did it feel being in a stadium with all those people?
Felt quite like how much are like quite exciting, very, let's just say, very noisy.
Very noisy, yeah, but a cool atmosphere, hey?
Yeah.
Everybody being there to celebrate. And pretty cool that that concert was a little bit different because it wasn't like there was a big band, was there? It was just Ed Sheeran with his guitar and his loop pedal.
Yeah.
And he told us all about that and how cool that is. So that was a pretty cool night, I have to say. And a pretty cool adventure. It was getting over to the Wellington, going on the train, walking to the stadium. There was all sorts of bits that went into that. So that was pretty awesome. But would you like to share a bit more about the unexpected adventure of ticking under the stars off with everybody?
Definitely. So like, when we got there, we're going to Utafuka 2 huts.
Yeah.
But when we got there, the main track was closed off due to a slip. So we decided to go on the detour track, which is part of the jumbo track, which goes all the way around. So we started walking that way. Walking, we ended up getting to Rocky Lookouts, where we went stopped for some jelly snakes.
Always good on a trip.
Yeah. To just catch our breaths, and it was quite tiring. And we continued walking. We could see Pearl Huts up on the top of the mountain.
We could.
So we continued walking, and I don't know if this is true. We got to a swing bridge before the huge drop. No, we did that.
We had to go down and down and down through the forest before we got to the swing bridge. Oh. Yeah.
So we got to this really horrifying part of the war, which was just this huge big drop of slippery roots, but basically quicksand, basically. Our trees everywhere. It was like there wasn't actually a track. We only had to get down. Quite a few slips happened. Roots were very wet. So when we got to the end of that, we continued walking a bit. And then we came across a swing bridge, which I thought was extremely dodgy, and my cousin Freddie probably thought it was extremely dodgy too. It was one person at a time, and it was just wire, which is that's why I thought it was really dodgy.
Right. And what does dodgy mean to you for the audience? What does that mean to you? Because we realise that there's quite a few of those swing bridges that are just the metal ones in New Zealand, and yeah, you're not always that comfortable crossing them, but you do because you trust them. But you guys, it was kind of a first experience of doing something, and especially when you're having to go across on your own, isn't it? I think that was what was a bit more challenging for you guys.
Yeah, like what I meant by dodgy is like, say it was like just made out of wire, so it looked quite, it was rusty. it was very, like, when you took a step, like, I could see some snapped wires on the bit up. And, like, when you start walking across it, when you get to the middle, it starts to really start bending down, 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 down. And I'd say, like, it's quite... I'm not very high, but it is quite high up above really rocky water.
Yeah.
So, like, it felt really nice when we got to the end of it. It felt amazing.
But it was pretty cool to think that you both did that, and you were both, yeah, very brave at just doing it. I'm just going to step in here and give a little bit of context to this story. So as part of the school holiday adventures, going to go to a hut had been, with Finn, had been on my particular tick list for quite a while. Sort of we wanted to start doing this part of New Zealand experience, going walking, staying in huts, walking out, which meant Finn carrying his own pack and all his gear. And we chose the Atapakatu hut and
because
track.
It wasn't really a long walk, but...
Indeed. So as Finn's pointed out, we chose that strategically because it seemed to be a nice entry-level walk. We would, you know, it's a 2 to 3 hour walk. I had already done it on a recce walk myself, was very confident because it's not too tricky. There's a few steps and ups and downs. There's the bridge and a few crossings, but it's an absolutely beautiful walk, and I felt it was a great introduction walk to what this new part of life could be. Yeah. Like I said, Finn had never carried a pack before, so it was going to be the first time. So a nice 2 to 3 hours with you carrying, you know, just your sleeping bag and your clothes wasn't going to be too arduous. And we had decided to take his cousin along, Freddie.
Wasn't that for his birthday present?
Yeah, we decided, as you know, here on the show, I'm an experienced present buyer. And so when it had been his last birthday, I'd suggested we would go on an adventure, the boys' adventure. And in talking about that, we decided that we would do the hut trip. So Freddie was into that as well, so that was going to be cool. So that is the why we decided, and I'd been watching the weather forecast for the holidays and the ability to book the hut, and we struck upon this beautiful 2-day window midweek of the first week where there was going to be 2 sunny days back to back plus availability at the hut. Happy days, let's lock it in. And off we go. Went shopping, got some nice snacks to lure the jelly snakes were part of it. You know, we'd got a strategic meal plan to make sure that the boys were happy because we want this to be a success. We want this to inspire the next time and pushing the challenge a little bit further that these guys have had such a cool experience. They want to do it again. We're going to take a wee break here because it doesn't quite go to plan, does it?
Yeah, it did not go to plan. I'm going to tell you what happened.
Okay, so let's take a break, have a bit of a musical interlude, and then Finn is going to share how it ended up being quite an adventure.
We're all falling and we need a place to hide. A safe place somewhere in the woods we can start a fire. All we know is what will be our home. We will stay until break of dawn. The cold night takes us to a place to escape the chill. Tucked up somewhere in the woods on a hill. Wake up feeling the cold, in between our toes. Is there a way back? Nobody knows. And we leave it all behind. Can't you see? We need some time. And we all sit around the fire. We feel a little warmer now. And we all sit around the fire. We feel so much better now.
Finn, I'm going to hand back to you now. So we've sort of laid out everything. You've given a bit of an intro. I've given a bit of context. Let's start talking about what started to go a bit pear-shaped. So we've done the detour. We're back on the main track. There has been a bit of a realisation of how little of the original track the detour has meant we've sort of got past.
Yeah.
Which, for me, was a bit of an awakening, because I had strategically started us off with time that would mean that we had this lovely afternoon of walking, get to the hut, be able to chill out, enjoy the experience, cook dinner, walk out. But tell us what actually happened.
So by the time we got past the swing bridge and started going down and reconnected with the proper walk, it was starting to get quite dark by that time. We didn't plan to be walking in the dark. So that's why I brought torchlights.
Well, we brought torches for the hut because there wouldn't be electricity as well.
Well,
so
good thing we brought, good thing we brought them. And so we started, we could see where the fenced off part of the track ended, as I told you from the start. So we started to continue walking to the hut, walking. We got to this part where the track started to get really, really skinny. So we're being really cautious there. And then we got to parts where like half the track was, say, destroyed. So we had to be really careful going over there so we didn't slip. We were getting so close. So we were so excited to sit down. And then we got to this, like huge destroyed track where a landslide hit. And that, when a huge shock came over me. Like, we were walking for so long, and we come across a huge landslide blocking the track. My mum went up to see, and she told us she couldn't see where it ended, and she didn't want to take us over it in the dark. We would have done it in the day, but not in the dark.
Yeah, so that bit was a bit tough, wasn't it, Finn?
Yeah.
So we'd, as Finn says, we'd been losing light. We had now been walking for 5 hours because the detour was much larger than we anticipated. Now, I must disclose at this point that I was aware of the active slip, so that was fine. I'd walked across that before. But what hadn't happened on the day is I hadn't looked at the dock site. And lo and behold, apparently that day there had been a detour notification go out. So because there'd been some track maintenance started on the bridges. So we met a fellow walker quite early in the piece who shared this with me and showed me the detour. So I'd seen the map, taken a picture of that. The challenge I think has been is it's all about interpretation, and we often talk about this on the show. So I'd seen the map and there was the cross on the map, and I had totally assumed that that was the hut. So you were detouring round and there was the Atifakatu hut. What indeed it actually was highlighting by the cross was where the bridge maintenance was. So the realisation when we'd done this massive detour to come back, and I thought we were just having this little walk back to the hut, was actually that it was only pointing out where the maintenance was. And we then had to walk almost all of the Atifakatu track to get to the thing. As Finn said, we were losing light. We'd had to get our lights out, and that was fine. We had them. However, when you got to the active slip, which we were very aware of, and these guys had just been carrying their packs along that very skinny part of the path in the darkness and being, I mean, gosh, totally awesome legends. But Finn had started to feel a bit wobbly.
Yeah, after we saw the, like, huge slip. I was like, we've walked so far, so quite close. We only had, like, 2 hours left. And then we come across a slip, and I was like...
And you got a bit upset by that because you, at that point you said that you felt a bit unsafe about this.
Yeah.
And so, and at that point as a parent that's, you know, taking your kids on these adventures to instill a sense of adventure and happiness for what is the New Zealand tramping experience, I had been trucking along quite happily but started to wobble myself of what am I doing. However, then we were sort of presented with quite a big challenge, because what were we going to do? So what did we do, Finn?
So we decided to walk back and get to where the big, and get to where everything was fenced off, so where the end of the fence of track ended. And we didn't, and it was really dark by then, and I don't think... If it was you, you wouldn't want to take the detour all the way back again.
That would not be safe.
That would have been horrible. Like going up the big drop of all the roads, that probably would have taken a whole lot of time. Because So what we did is, later on, you'll see why we did it. We took the fence down and walked into the area that was fenced off. We, to see if it was safe to get back, we were walking. Everything seemed absolutely fine. We were walking. Only a tiny bit of broken trees. Walking so close to the end. And then we came across this huge fenced off area with a wet bridge. There was no, like, safety handlebars on the edges. Planks were missing. A big drop underneath it. So basically you'd be walking on a slackline, and it was just a really thick one. So this is when my cousin Freddie started to get a bit, I think.
Yeah, he had his wobble there, didn't he?
Yeah. He said we should risk it, but we shouldn't risk it because it was a bit wobbly. So we started walking back, and then we met this guy called Brent, also walking that way. And he was basically a saviour, because he says he does this stuff a whole lot. And so he said, I'll take you to where the blocked off area is and see if it's safe for you guys. So he took us over. We were feeling a lot more confident with Brent there. Walking across, and we got to the, broken down bridge. And I said, oh yeah, this is fine. And then he pointed to a rope that we hold on to while we walk across. So he basically destroyed the fence to get over. And he went over first. Then my cousin Freddie went over and he walked back to help my cousin Freddie. So they were over. And then I went, just walking across, holding the rope. It was honestly, the bridge was a lot more sturdy than it looked. Just walking across, like, it was extremely easy after that. So walking across the bridge, got there, stepped over the fence, and then my mum came over. And then that time we were, like, in the clearing, we were still walking on the broken down fence. Me and my cousin Freddie's legs and shoulders and everything were so painful. Absolutely destroyed. So we were walking, and then eventually me and Freddie recognized the sign at the start of the track where it got blocked off, and that time we realized we were out of the blocked off area and so close to the car park ending. So that's when me and Freddie, like, all the aching went away, and we were just so excited to get to the end.
That was a pretty cool feeling, wasn't it, Finn?
Yeah.
And at that point, guys, listening, we had been walking for absolutely hours. So the intention of taking these guys on a nice, easy walk, and they had been walking for 8 hours at this point. We hadn't stopped for dinner. That had been part of the plan after we'd located the bridge in the trapped area. I had planned to get back to a certain spot, and my strategy was going to be that I was going to feed the kids, get them in the sleeping bags resting for a while while I hatched what would be the next move, but give them some break, because these guys had been absolute legends. They had not complained the whole time. We'd made decisions together as a team all the way through the day, and they'd been absolute legends. When we met Brent, as Finn said, our saviour, it was like this light of an angel coming through towards us because of his head torch. And this guy he'd been at Atavakatu for a few days. He was totally unaware of all of these changes because he'd walked in on the regular track. He had then been listening to people coming into the hut that day of what had been happening. And he had made a call that he wasn't going to walk that detour. He'd been there walking the ranges and doing his thing for a few days. He was going to get out. He was thinking of either starting early morning to get out before the workers. But he made a call, and we are so grateful, to go out at night. So he decided to walk out that night to get home. He came across us and we had this great chat about sharing what we'd done. And he was very sort of awesome at going, well, you've got two choices. There's that way and you've got to face the slip and go across it. And he, you know, was advocating that we could, but then there was still quite a walk. Or we could go with him, walk out and ditch this hut trip, but get out and get these boys into their beds and, you know, write it off as quite an adventure. And so we took that option, and Brent was an absolute superstar. So shouting out to the saviour angel, man in the dark, that was Brent, who came and helped us. And yeah, huge. What would you like to say to Brent, Finn, if you could send a message to him right now?
Probably just like, thank you for helping us. We're very grateful of it. We probably would have not made it across from that time without you.
Yeah.
And probably this is going to sound strange. Me and Freddie both agreed, the best thing that was on the walk, so when we got to the end and got to the car park, we had no car since we were dropped off. So Brent had a truck but had only two seats. So me and Freddie went in the back of the truck, which was honestly amazing. It was honestly amazing, like, looking up in the stars, there was so many, like, Milky Way.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were so much constellations. I saw Mel's Hook and all the constellations. It was so awesome.
Because that was a bit of a plus about what happened to us, wasn't it, Finn?
Yeah, the stars were amazing.
Like, it was It was getting dark, and so the stars were coming out. And we were so lucky because it had been a nice day, so it was a clear sky.
And a warm night.
And a warm night, which was a bonus. And so I'm guessing that is why you have chosen, and we have agreed that we can tick off spend a night under the stars on your challenge list through to, due to this very unexpected adventure. But my question to you to end the show, because it's almost the end of the show, Finn. This is how quickly our chats go on our OFM Charlotte Flows show. Would you be keen to go into that kind of thing again? Would you be keen to go on a walk to a hut carrying a backpack?
Yes, but first I want you to check the walk on the website because it was very unexpected. One more question for you, Mum. On your challenge 50 before 50, what do you think was your least favourite challenge?
Oh, okay, I know why you've asked this. And I think this might come up in show number two quite a lot, but I'll give you a hint, listeners. The hint is one of my most challenging things on my list was actually indeed a challenge that Finn gave me to score a goal in a FIFA video game challenge. So I think we might have that conversation next week on the show, talking about my unexpected challenge situation, Finn, and why that's been bringing us some fun and the differences between a 10-year-old and a 49-year-old on their concepts of gaming. But for now, Finn, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing. I would like to disclose that we're not generally in the rules of breaking rules and going through closed areas or riding on the back of the trucks. But certain circumstances in life lead you to decisions that have to bend the rules a little bit. So our apologies to anybody that takes offence at this or is upset. But the things you do to keep your people motivated, safe, and in this case, get them home to a good night's sleep. And what a good night's sleep that was, wasn't it, Finn?
Oh, yeah. It's so nice. I mean, like, the next day my legs still hurt.
Yeah. But it was, as they say, an unexpected adventure.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be one that lasts. Anyway, thanks for enjoying the first of a trio of shows with me and my little guy, Finn. Look forward to chatting more next week. Sounds like it's going to be about challenges and maybe the big debate on parenting with kids, screens, games, technology. Let's see how that one goes.
Yeah.
Thanks as always to RFM for hosting the show and talk soon.